Okay, so we're back for another episode. This episode is going to be interesting for me. Probably more difficult of a topic for me to relate to, being 28 years old. But I know you wanted to speak on retirement, and retirement is not something that is even in my vocabulary at this moment. But how serious? I don't want to say concerned, but how much thought should someone my age be putting into retirement, and those even getting closer to that retirement age?
I would say that people should really, really consider it, because if you fail to plan to fail. So even when I was in my 20s, I didn't think about it either. Now in this stage of my life, I think about it. So, you know, when I was 20, I was going to the club. I was doing all the things that 20-year-olds do. So it wasn't on my radar. But when it came to my promotions or work or those things, I had an opposite approach. So I listened to all of my mentors and my elders, and I followed what they did. And, you know, I always knew that, you know, if you want to be a millionaire, ask a millionaire. If you want to be a general, ask a general. A 20-year-old probably needs to ask, in a nutshell, do you plan on working longer than you're retired? Or do you plan on being retired longer than you're working?
I'd like to be retired longer than I'm working, quite frankly.
Exactly. So everybody needs to think about that, even if you're 20 years old, right? Do you want to work until you're 60? Or do you want to retire and then, you know, work a little bit and retire longer? So which block do you want to be longer? The first half or the second half,
right? Second half, for right. Sure.
And so what you have to do is you say, okay, how do you want to retire? Do you want to retire struggling, or do you want to retire where your golden years are golden? And that's, you know, and the earlier the better. And so now, you know, the good thing about your generation is they're not as tied to one job as we were, where you stay at a job for 30, 40 years and you work, like, you know, work your tail off and give every shred of everything and forget everything else your whole life. And then you retire and then you still don't have enough for retirement. The younger people, they do have a better structure because they do think about it, and they do side hustles, and they will, you know, do different things that, and they care about their quality of life. But the real question is, do you plan on working longer than you're retired, or do you want to be retired longer than you're working? And so how are you going to go about that? And so when I look at, you know, I took a peek at, you know, retirements currently. So when people retire, like right now, you know, what is the average 401k? What is the average government thrift savings plan? And what is the IRA retirement when people retire? So most people are underfunded across the board because a lot of people don't think about it until they turn 50. So the real thing is, how do you catch up, or how do you really plan for it? And so that's one of the things I'll be writing some articles about on LinkedIn is, you know, now that you're thinking about it, well, how do you catch up? How do you catch up right now?
Well, you say they think about it at 50, considering they say their retirement age is 65. Is it possible to retire well before that age that they give us? Can you retire at 40 years old?
You can. You can retire at 40, but you have to plan for it. This is where I tell people, and I tell my son, he's 30. I said, it's your movie. It's your script. You own it, right? So you can determine where you want to be, but you have to plan for it, because if you're casual about life, you will end up a casualty. And so most people are casual, and then they'll end up a casualty somewhere along the line. And so it's almost similar to, you know, nobody's going to care about your retirement more than you. So it's almost similar to New Year's resolutions. You have to, every December and January, you have to see where you are. Where are you? And so what I'm going to do in my article is, and I'm going to actually walk through it, is, you know, where should you be at 30 in your retirement? Where should you be at 35? Where should you, you know, is it 40,000, 50,000. So there's a number for each goal. And so if somebody clearly articulates that number, then you know where your catch up is and how to go about it. And so looking at it every year and then saying to yourself, well, hey, putting it in writing makes it real, at least to me. And so when I say I want to retire, like I retired twice.
Twice.
I retired from the military at like 40. Mm-hmm. And then I retired from corporate America at 57. And so
how do you know in this situation, you said you would track, how do you know whether you're ahead or falling behind? If someone was 50 years old right now that joined this group, how do they know if they're ahead or behind in the retirement plan?
I asked a question with investing. So that's one of the things about my group is, you know, my methods can catch anybody up from any place. And so I would say a real goal is I ask people, okay, do you want to retire comfortably? And so there are methods to use. So let's say you have $200,000 in your 401k. Well, if you realistically, I would say a person should have at least $500,000 in their 401k or in their retirement plan, not just a 401k, but a combined.
For them to be on track?
Yeah. If you have your investments and you combine your investments, your IRA, your investments, your TSP, if you're a government worker, or a 401k, if you're working in corporate America. So somewhere along the line between those income producing assets, both of them combined. Now, if you only have one, then you have to do some catch up. Whereas if you only have a 401k, you have to, you know, if you have that 500,000, then you could, there are methods to use to make sure that you can retire comfortably. Because the other thing that I think about and I teach people in the group is, are you going to outlive your retirement? That's why people don't retire, because they think they're going to outlive their money. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't have enough to retire. Mm-hmm. So the goal is really to have 10 times your annual salary to retire. If you have 10 times your average salary in your investment portfolio, whether it's your 401k or IRA, then that's a good start. And then there are methods that we teach in the group to make sure that you don't outlive your retirement, that you have generational wealth. And they're tried and true. They're 100% accurate, because I use it for myself. So I teach every single person exactly how to do it. And once you do it, then, you know, it changes the game. And so the earlier you start, the better. That's why I want people, I said, hey, I'm going to teach you the way I know it, so that you can tell your son, your kids, your daughter, mm-hmm. your family the same way. You can teach it to them. And then that way, you know, is foundational. And then it's far different from everybody else, but that's my agenda, is to do that. And so, you know, whether you're 40, 50, I can meet you where you are and walk you through a goal and give you, you know, say, okay, depending on what you want to do, here's the number. How do we get to it? And you work backwards, right? So
what percentage, and this may be, you might not have the exact answer, I'm not expecting you to, but a rough estimate, what percentage of the working American do you think is prepared for retirement from the age, I mean, any age, whether it's my age included or when they're at the close to retirement age of 50 to 65, what percentage do you think is prepared? And for those that aren't, why do you think they're not prepared?
They're less than half. I researched it, which is why I was doing this article. And I said, you know, less than half of the people. And so I was in my research, I was saying, you know, what's the average retirement at 65 for a 401k? It's like 200,000, 220. What's the average for a thrift savings plan if you're a government worker? It's a little bit better. It's like a little bit under 300, you know. If you don't have either one, what's the average account of a, you know, an IRA at retirement is more like 400. And so that, if you can see, the stocks make you a little bit more prepared when with less than half prepared, half of America, then it's critical to start early and raise the flag. And then, you know, I'm not even talking about, you know, I didn't even break it down by barriers or income brackets, you know, or black and brown and compared to everyone mm-hmm. else, but I'm pretty sure it's behind.
Right.
Yeah. And so this is what people have to think about is, you know, financial literacy and the earlier the better. And so most people, the reason why, as you said, is most people work harder on their job than they do on themselves. And they focus on the job. They don't focus on finances because it's kind of foreign, mm-hmm. right? And so they rely on professionals, right? And you know, they look up and they're still not prepared. Like if everybody has financial planners, why is half of America not prepared? Like, how is that possible, right? Like, I mean, really, if I'm an expert, then I should have expert money.
Right.
Right. Especially after 30 years. And if I don't, then time to throw out the playbook and do something else.
Try something new.
So, right. Try something new. So most people are not prepared because they don't focus on it. They're very passive. They put it away and they go, hey, I got money in my 401k, but they're really not looking at how it's working.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask too. You know, you're going to have that group mm-hmm. or percentage that is pretty confident that they're doing it correctly. What errors do you think have been made, or your as you put it, retirement nightmares? What errors could they be making? Is it lack of information, or is it that's what you would put it at, lack of information?
It's a little bit of both, because some of it is on the person and some of it is on the job or the government or what. And what I mean by that is they'll tell you, hey, we have a 401k, or we have, you know, we have a TSP plan. But then they make it more difficult than it is, mm-hmm. or they add more information. So they don't explain it in plain English. Here's what it does and here's what it doesn't do. And here's what you should be doing. Those are the pieces. Those are the people. So people make the mistake, like, you know, hey, I'm just going to work my 20 years and I'm going to do this. And what people need to realize is when you retire, you're going to retire a lot longer. And so how do you want your retirement to look? That's why I ask people in the group, what do you mm-hmm. want your retirement to look like? Right? Do you want it to look great? Or do you want to be struggling? Because you have to be prepared. You know, now, unless you're in the military like me, medical becomes big right. the older right. you get. That eats into your retirement. People don't prepare mm-hmm. for that. You know, let one thing go south and those yeah. medical bills are, you know, ruin people.
Now, that's what I'm going to ask, being 28 years old, right? And I don't think we have such tunnel vision, millennials and even the generation under me, because we don't have to think about, so we should, but we don't have to think about those certain things. And I guess preparing for it now helps us, because there are other expenses that we have to consider. It's not just as simple as putting money off to the side, 401k and those things. It's much deeper than that. What advice would you have for someone who is going on 30, who is 28 years old and is thinking, okay, I need to start preparing for that? What is step one? You know, it, just something as small, as simple advice that you can give. I know you're going to write an article about it, and I think everyone that listens and watches this should go tap in for more information. He'll elaborate more there. But for someone my age, what small advice could you give as far as retirement planning?
I would say, you know, learning the foundations of money, learning how money works, and then investing. And so the earlier youth works if the earlier you start investing, the better off you're going to be. And you always want to have options no matter what your age. Mm-hmm. Even if you're 20, 25, 30, you want to be able to go out on your terms, or you want to be able to do things on your terms. Because when I was early in the military, I had online businesses, even though I was in the military, and I worked just as hard on those businesses as I did for the military.
Right.
And so that way, when it came time for my 20 years, I had options. I could stay in the military, or I don't have to, because I wasn't tied to the money and I wasn't tied to the job. So you want to be able to call. People call in sick. You want to be able to call in well. Well, I don't feel like coming in anymore. Well, I don't feel like coming in anymore.
Calling well.
Deuces. Right? You want to be able to throw up deuces and leave. Or you want them to know that you can walk at any given moment. It's totally different. And so my preparation was good. So, you know, and then even when I got to corporate America, same thing. I never let go of those businesses. And I always was able to say, you know what, I could work here, but I don't have to work here. Mm-hmm. And so I was always prepping to say, you know, whether I'm 40 or 50, I want to live life on my terms. And then that way, you know, I want to be retired and I want to enjoy my life. And the earlier, you know, when you have friends checking out, you know, when you start getting 40 or 50 and things happen unexpectedly, then all of a sudden it becomes a little bit clearer that, you know, maybe I don't need to be lackadaisical, right? I need to, right, to make things count. That's what I, you know, for young people, the earlier you know that, figure out, say, you know what, my goal is 45 or 50, and it may seem like a lifetime, but it's going to come fast. And so as long as you start, and I always recommend starting from the bottom. You got to, you know, when you build a house, you have to have a foundation. Mm-hmm. And so learning the principles of money, that's why I teach that first. And that's free. You can just go on YouTube and type it in. You know, I have a link, right, but that's something you share out and say, hey, here's the foundation of money, and then learn how to invest. And the good thing is you don't have to ask anybody. And the earlier you start, you can start with $50, $10, but it's discipline, it's consistent. So, you know, anybody, even if you're 20, you know, it's like putting it, what I always say is somebody gives you an envelope and you throw it in your sock drawer, right? You throw it in your sock drawer. So every month, if you give yourself $20 and you throw it in your sock drawer, you know, at the end of the year, you'll have a lot of money, right? You'll be surprised. Mm-hmm. So it's the same way. So this is your retirement fund. So even at, you know, 20, you know, putting $20 away, or you say $1 a day, right? $1 a day, you know, $30 a month, I would recommend. And so, but it's your life, right? And so, and the earlier you do it, the better off you'll be.
Yeah.
And then you can, you know, you start off with just putting, you know, hey, I used to have a change jar. Every time when I had cash, now people don't have cash a lot, but what I used to do is I challenged myself. I said, here's what I'm going to do. So I said, you know, when I had a lot of cash, I would just, every time I go to the store and I get money and they give me change back, I just put it in this jar. Mm-hmm. And I would hold it for like maybe a year or 2 years. And then I'd cash it in, and you'd be surprised at how much money I had in it. And so it's the same thing. If you have extra money, maybe you put it in a drawer. I do that. Like if I have any loose change or a couple of dollars, I throw it in a drawer. And at the end of the year, you know, I wind up, me and the wife go to Vegas with it. But you can also invest it, right?
I'll say this. It's kind of, I won't call it ironic, but it is funny that it sounds like the process of preparing yourself for retirement involves a little bit more of taking risks and playing it safe. When you say invest, you know, yeah, you're going to give yourself money, you'll save, but everyone's always pitching that's just save, 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 penny pinch, so you can have your money over. But it sounds like you have to maybe even take some losses, maybe invest to gain back to be able to prepare for that. Am I misinterpreting that?
Well, you're right. It's, you know, everybody takes a few L's, but overall, historically, the stock market goes up. Mm-hmm. And those are learning experiences. So it's just like life, right? You learn not to touch the stove. You learn right. not to cross the street in the middle of traffic. So it's the same thing. You know, you lose, you make a bad investment, you learn not to do it again, right? You learn right. some of the safer investments. And so here's where, you know, picking your coaches matters. Mm-hmm. So you need to, you know, success leaves footprints. For me, I always look at, you know, what was somebody's success and who were they following? And then do I want to follow them? And so that's how I decide how I want to do things. And so when I learned how to do stock investments, I picked the top people. Warren Buffett, I picked some of the top people on Wall Street, and then mm-hmm. I studied them. And then I came up with a strategy where I minimized my losses. So now historically, over time, I'm always doing better than the market, and not a little bit better, far better. And right. I've learned the mistakes of bad teachers, bad instructions, bad advice, so I can weed through all of that. Now it's to the point of teaching it. And like you said, you know, Warren Buffett just put out that article. He said, you know, I had my share of losses, but I made 12 decisions that made me a billionaire. So mm-hmm. out of all those losses, 12 decisions made me a billion dollars. Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it. So
give me all the losses. You know, I'll take
it. Yeah. You know, in baseball, there's only been less than 500 hitters in all of baseball, in the history of baseball. So that's 4 out of 10, less than 5. You know, Steph Curry shoots 41% lifetime. That's still 4 out of 10. And he's Steph Curry is the best, right?
41%, he shoots more than anybody.
Yeah, he shoots more. So that's 4 out of 10, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so in basketball, 4 out of 10. And so in the stock market, if you're doing, you know, that should be the initial goal, right? 40%.
40%.
40% will put you in the top 1% right away. And if you can't get there, you have to figure out why, you know, what is the person you're following? What is their percentage? You know, and how do you get there? And so that's how I figure it out. I start from there. I'm like, who's the best of the best? Right. So in baseball, the top hitters hit 300. You know, Ohtani, those people are making mm-hmm. 200 million. Mike Trout making $200 million for hitting 300, 3 out of 10. Yeah. Steph Curry, 4 out of 10, mm-hmm. you know, changing the game. So I was like, well, in the stock market, 40%, because most people, you know, the best, the top investors are at like 29-30%, which is similar mm-hmm. to sports. So if you're clocking 30% in the stock market, you are in the top percentile right. of investors. And so I was fortunate to be at 60%.
60%.
61.
60%.
61.
I don't even know what athlete to compare you to. What is that? Are you right. Jordan? What is that? We shooting mid-range. Hey.
Something like that. My game is deadly. It's tight. My handle is... The thing about it is I started at 40 and mm-hmm. I kept saying, how do I get to 40? And I kept tightening it up, you know, and so I challenged myself every year to get to 40 because the stock market changes. But if you get to 40, you're always going to be in the top echelon, the very, very top. That's always my goal. And so, you know, that's why I challenge everybody, you know, think about it like that from all spectrums when you really think about it. So, you know, 4 out of 10, which means you don't win everything. Mm. You can't get them all right. But if you get 4 out of 10 right, and you get the right 4 out of 4 in the stock market, you won't have any complaints. And if you do that consistently, you won't have to do that even that. After a while, because if you're doubling the market returns or quadrupling the market returns every single year, you won't have a lot of problems.
Noted. Duly noted. as we close it out, where's the best place they could get the article that you're going to release? And then when are you going to put that article out for those that need a little bit more information related to the retirement plan?
Well, I'll start putting them out, and there'll probably be several articles because it's a big topic and there are a lot of age groups that will be interested. And so, you know, the best place that I operate is on LinkedIn. So hit up John J. Sneed, or hit up my company page, Wealth Builders Mastermind Group, and then check out the podcast because, you know, we love it. And it's now on Spotify. So you can look it up on Spotify. Climbing the charts.
Put it in the playlist. We coming right. from Joe Budden, Joe Rogan, all them.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Well, I think that can conclude that for me. If you have anything else, let it be known. If not, you know, that's it.
Well, Rise to Riches is the podcast. That's the correct title. So no matter where you are, you can rise to riches. You can rise to riches anytime. You just have to decide that you want to do it.